But what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you a story of the internet that I've got here for you. So if I could have your attention whilst I read. So I'm going to be reading it off here. A young man had been to a midweek Bible study. The pastor had shared about listening to God and obeying the Lord's voice. The young man couldn't help but wonder, does God speak to people? After the study, he went out with some friends for some coffee and cake, and he discussed the message with each other. Several different people talked about the various ways God had led them in various different situations. It was about 10 o'clock when the young man started to drive home. Sitting in his car, he began to pray, God, if you still speak to people, I will listen and I will do my best to obey. As he drove down Main Street of his town, he had the strangest thought to stop and buy a pint of milk. He shook his head and said, Lord, is that you? He didn't get a reply, so he carried on towards home. But again, the thought popped into his head, buy a pint of milk. The young man thought about the story of Samuel and how he didn't recognize the voice of God immediately, and how little Samuel had to run to Eli. Okay, God, in case it's you, I will buy the milk. After all, it didn't seem the hardest test of obedience, and he could always use the milk. He stopped, bought the milk, and started off towards home. As he passed Main Street, he felt the urge to turn down that street. This is crazy, he thought. I'm just going to pass the junction. But again, he felt the urge to turn down Main Street. At the next junction, he turned back and went down Main Street. Half jokingly, he said out loud, okay, God, I will. He drove for about 5 minutes down the street when suddenly he felt he'd stop. He pulled over to the curb, looked around. He was in a semi-commercial part of town. Now, it wasn't the best neighbourhood in the world, but it wasn't the worst neighbourhood either. All the businesses were closed, and most of the residential houses looked dark as if people were already in bed. Again, he sensed something. Go and give the milk to the people in the house across the street, the one with the yellow door. The young man looked at the house. It was dark. It looked like the people were either away or asleep. He started to open the car door but stopped and sat back in his seat. Lord, this is insane. Those people are asleep, and if I wake them up, they're going to think I'm mad or I'm going to look stupid. Again, he felt the need to go and give the milk. Finally, he manned up, opened the door. Okay, God, if this is you, I will go to the door. I will give them the milk. If you want to make me look like a crazy person, then okay. I want to be obedient. I guess it will count for something, but if they don't answer straight away, I'm out of there. He walked across the street, rang the bell, and he could hear some noise coming from inside. A man's voice yelled out, who is it? What do you want? The door opened before the young man could get away. The man was standing there in his jeans and a t-shirt. He looked like he'd just got out of bed. He had a strange look on his face, and he didn't seem too happy that a stranger was standing on his doorstep. What do you want? The man said. The young man thrust out the pint of milk. Here, I bought this for you. The man took the milk and rushed down the hallway, speaking loudly in Spanish. Then from down the hall came a woman, carrying the milk towards the kitchen. The man was following her, holding a baby. The baby was crying loudly, tears streaming down its face. The man began to speak, half crying. He said, we were just praying. We had some bills this month and we ran out of money. We didn't have any milk for our baby. I was just praying and asking God to show me how to get some milk. His wife in the kitchen yelled out, I asked God to send an angel with milk. Are you an angel? The young man reached into his wallet, pulled out all the money he had on him and put it in the man's hand. He turned, walked away towards his cars with tears streaming down his face. He knew that God still answers prayers and talks to people. Amen. Isn't that an amazing story? You know what? God does talk to people today. The question really is, are we actively listening to him? Now, about a month or so ago, Mike Gilson did a sermon which really moved me. For me, it was one of the most powerful sermons I'd heard in a while. But as I thought about the sermon on the days that followed, I thought, what was it about that sermon that touched me so deeply? Well, to answer that is because there was something in there that was personal to me. It was something that touched my innermost being. I'll go into that in a bit more detail later on. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scripture that Mike had and go from there. So it comes from the book of Samuel. And if you've got church Bibles, it's page 273. If you haven't, don't worry about it, because I'm going to read it anyway. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3, and it's verses 1 to 10. As I said, I'll read it. The Lord calls to Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming too weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord said, "Call to Samuel." Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord spoke to Samuel. What do you hear when you close your eyes for the night, turn off the telly, and get all the distractions around you away? What do you hear? Do you hear the voice of God? Or is there just silence? For me, often, it's deafening silence. Now, I'm only being honest, and probably I shouldn't share that, but the truth is, I believe that there's other people like me that call out on the Lord, and sometimes he seems rather quiet. Why is it that some people seem to have a direct line into the creator of the universe? Almost like they can call him up whenever they have a problem. And not only can they speak to him, but he speaks back. As if they've got a two-way conversation. Well, seeing I'm sharing my innermost thoughts with you, I'm actually a bit jealous, envious of those people that could have the ability to hear God so clearly. Take, for example, Shirley McManus, who often at cell group, or home group as we call it, would say things like, "The other day I was speaking to God, and I said to him, da da da, and he said to me, blah blah blah." And I literally say it, that's how she says it. And then you get other people saying, "God has given me this for you," or "I have this that God told me to give you." Or other people will say, "God has given me a vision and I want to share it with you." Why is it that some people seem to have that clear connection to God, but I don't lately? And that's what I'm going to try and answer today. Why is it that those people do have that sort of connection with God and that understanding with God, whereas I haven't? And I'm going to break that down into three practical lessons that we can all take away. Lesson one is this: create an environment that enables you to actively listen to God. Now, a few weeks ago, Vic got up here. It was the day that we had cake to celebrate his and Alison's 50th anniversary. And Vic said, when he thinks back to the times that he had trouble in his life, or things were just very difficult, it was usually because he'd taken his eyes off Jesus. And then he said, "Have you taken your eyes off Jesus?" And for me, it was like a bolt of lightning. I thought, actually, do you know what, Paul? You've taken your eyes off Jesus here. And then I thought to myself, well, how can taking your eyes off Jesus affect your hearing of his voice? And that's where I've got my first illustration. So has anyone got a passion or something that they're really happy or excited about doing? Anyone here? Only one person. Come on. Is there anyone else? Oh, you got a passion? You got a passion? Okay. Well, seeing you were the first to go up, Shelby, this, for those of you who don't know, this is my daughter, Shelby. Have you got a passion you want to talk about? Good, good. Right, so I'm going to use you in a moment. First, what I need you to do is go outside that door and just stand there. Naomi, can you make sure she doesn't stand near the door, yeah? Makes back. Let's just wait for her to get out a second. Okay, she's out. Perfect. Okay, so let me explain what I'm going to do, just so you know. It's a little bit unfair because I'm going to trick her a little bit, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at her when she's talking, yeah? And I'm going to pay attention to her as she talks. And then other times, I'm going to make her feel a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it sort of subliminally, and I'm going to turn away from her. And I want you to notice her body language and her words. She'll probably stutter a little bit, slow down when I'm not looking at her. And I'll explain why I'm doing that in a moment, but I'm just sort of setting her up a little bit so she can see when I'm talking and when I'm not. Okay, Naomi, can you hear me? Come in, Shelby. Have a seat, anywhere you like. So you have a passion, do you, Shelby? Sorry? Oh, have you got the microphone, James? Oh, yes. Thank you. Let's just test. So, Shelby, tell me what your passion is.
Dance.
Is that, what sort of dance is that?
Street dance.
Okay, so tell me, what sort of things do you do?
Dance competitions.
Well, tell me a little bit about dance competitions.
So you have to get up early in the morning and you drive to wherever it is, and when you're there, you register and you get a number and you sit with your dance. You sit with your dance school, and normally solos are first, so you... the under-8 start first, and then they work up, and I'm in the under-14s.
Sorry, I was up late last night. Go on, sorry.
Now, when you're up there, they count how many people are in your category, and if there's too many, they put you in different heats, and then there's different rounds, and...
How have you done this year? Someone tells me. Well, actually, I know because I'm your dad, actually. Did you know she qualified for the world finals this year in street dancing?
Meant to be there today.
And do you know when it is? When is it?
Today,
yeah, so she's here. We couldn't go, but she did qualify, which I think is an amazing thing. So tell us about, do you have a dance partner?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about your dance partner.
Lauren, she's my best friend at school, and she wanted to join dance, and she did, and...
Sorry, go on.
She's my dance partner today, so...
Okay, thank you. Let's give her a big push. Now, I played a little trick on you there sometimes. So, tell me, when did you think I was listening to you?
When you was looking at me.
Okay, and how did it make you feel when I was looking at you?
That I was important because I'm your daughter.
Because I was important because I'm... Okay, and was there times that you maybe felt a little bit uncomfortable?
Yeah, when you was yawning.
When I was yawning. Okay, and how did that make you feel?
Uncomfortable and not important.
Not important or uncomfortable. Thank you. Let's give her a big round of applause. Poor girl, eh? So you guys who volunteered afterwards got out of that one there. So yeah, what was the point of that illustration? Well, firstly, I wanted to give you an environment where it was just me and Shelby and the stage. And next, I wanted to demonstrate active listening by looking directly at her. I wanted her to see what it was like just to be listened to. I wanted her to share what it was like to be listened to. And in the same time, I wanted to share what it was like not to actively listen to someone, how it makes them feel uncomfortable, how looking away like it's not important. Often my wife would say to me when she's telling me something important, you've always got one eye on the telly or on a gadget and not listening to me. And the fact of the matter is, she's right. I do hear what she's saying, but it doesn't go from there to there. And actually, it's important to look at someone that when you're actually talking to them. Often she says to me, I don't feel important when you're not paying attention to me, when you're not looking at me, and she's right. The Bible says that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. We have two ears and one mouth. We should listen and talk in that proportion. Are we quick to speak and slow to listen? Now, in this illustration, Shelby was playing the role of God. And I was playing the role of us, sometimes listening, sometimes not. The question I have for you, do you put yourself in a situation, an environment that's free of distractions so that you can be free to hear God's voice when he speaks? If you're not, then that's lesson one for you. Get away the distractions, allow you to look God straight in the eyes. Do you know that God is passionate about us? We are his passion. It says in the Bible, in John 3:16, he said that God so loves the world that he gave his one and only son to die for us, so that we can be restored to him and have a relationship with him. That's how important we are to God. And it doesn't stop there either. There's loads of places in the Bible where it talks about how important we are to God. Here's a few. In Romans 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then finally here, in 1 John 4, verses 9 to 11, in this the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I have a question for you guys again. How do you think it feels when God talks to us and we don't listen? Now, who considers themselves to be a good listener? Mark? Yep, come up, Mark. James, you're going to help me. Stephen? Shirley? Come up, Shirley, that'd be good. And Mary? No, I thought I see you put your hand up. Oh, he was pointing to Shirley. And we've got Michael. Okay, we've got five people here. So out of you five, which one do you think is the best listener? I'll let you discuss. Give yourself a ranking, one being the first person that I'm going to speak to and the fifth person being the least best. So between yourselves, just discuss a moment who's going to be the best listener out of you and who's probably the weakest. So you're the weakest, are you, or the best?
I thought you
meant
the best.
Oh, right, okay. So, no, okay, we'll go with Shirley first then. We'll go with Shirley. Shirley, you want to come first? Come on. Okay. And then number two is James. Okay, three. Mark. Steve or Mike? Lovely. Right, okay, so this is the way it's going to work, okay? Okay, this is the way it's going to work. So Shirley's going to stay in here with me. And then James, Mark, Stephen and Mike are all going to go out the foyer. And Naomi's going to be on guard out there with you, so none of you are listening. And Shelby's going to stand at the door. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a little story to Shirley. Shirley's then going to repeat it to you, and then to you, and to you. James is already cheating. James is already cheating. So off you go, you guys. Stand out there. Remember your order. Naomi, make sure they're right out the front, yeah? Shelby's going to stand at the door. It's okay. So I'm going to read something to you, and then you're going to repeat it back to those in a moment. So let's give you a microphone because you'll be ready. Are we safe to start? Okay. I'm going to read this, and you've got to remember this, okay? So, Fred the Wonder Dog is a two-year-old British terrier owned by the Smith family of 127 Ponders Lane. Fred is a distinctive-looking hound. He has a black patch over his left eye, two grey front legs with a short tipped tail, and weighs in at 25 pounds. On the 23rd of July, 2015, Fred was on his daily walk with owner Michael Smith, 45. The daily walk always takes the same route. Michael and Fred would walk to the bottom of Ponder Lane, to the town, and along the river path. However, on this day, as they reached River Walk, and according to eyewitness Beryl Longbottom and Joyce Farvin, Fred started to act really strange. Instead of just walking beside his owner, his ears became alert and he started barking at what seemed to be mid-air. But clearly Fred had heard something which caused him alarm, said Joyce Farvin. Fred started to pull his owner towards the river. Clearly Fred wanted to break free of his collar and leash, said Beryl Longbottom. As Fred got to the river's edge, he broke free of the grip his owner had on him, jumped straight into the river and started to doggy paddle towards a floating object, which turned out to be a bin liner. Fred swam towards the bin liner, carefully grabbing the bag with his teeth, and swam back towards the river's edge and his owner. Upon reaching the bank of the river, his owner noticed that the bag was moving and there were noises coming from inside. So he opened the bag and there were 5 kittens in there. 2 black kittens, 2 white kittens and 1 ginger. All 5 kittens are safe and well and have been rehomed, but had it not been for Fred and his alertness to the sound of distress of these kittens, they would have all drowned. Owner Michael Smith said, "We are very proud of Fred. As a special reward, we gave him a T-bone steak meal, brought him a strawberry sundae for dessert. He risked his own safety for that of others and deserves to be called Fred the Wonder Dog." Okay, you got all that?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
So do you want to send in James? Because you're going to repeat that story to James.
Oh, you'll be lucky.
James.
Oh, dear.
Remember to get all the facts, yeah?
Well, it was about Fred the Wonder Dog that belonged to the Smiths. And by the end that we got to it, some kittens in a box or a basket or something. 2 black, 2 white, and that's about as far as I've got.
So let's repeat that again. So let's repeat that again.
Fred the Wonder Dog.
You've got to remember this.
Belonging to the Smith family of, I can't even remember the address. And by the time we got to the end, there was some kittens in a box. I think it's 2 white and 2 black. And that was about it.
Okay, that's it. You got it?
That's it.
Okay, thanks, Sherry. Right, stay there. James, do you want to send in Mark next? No, it's not it. Come on, Mark. Put your best foot forward. Okay, James has got a story to tell you.
I've got half of it already. There's a story about Fred the Wonder Dog. He lived with the Smiths. Can't remember the address where they lived. That's how I got told to me. And they had a basket of 4 kittens, 2 black, 2 white. As far as I got.
Okay, Mark. Do you want to send in the next one? It's either Mike or Stephen. Stephen, okay, excellent. You ready, Mark? You got all the facts?
Just about.
Cool.
What's with this Stephen, by the way?
Steve. Okay, go on, Mark, give him the story.
Right, so far what I've gathered from James is there was a story about Fred the Wonder Dog, who lived with a family called the Smiths, who had 2 baskets of kittens, 2 black, 2 white.
Okay, you got that, yeah? Okay, send him Mike. I'll get you, Butler. Okay, Steve's going to tell you a story now, Mike.
There was this family, you see, and they had a dog called Fred. The family were called the Smiths. And for some reason, they also had kittens, 2 basketfuls of kittens. 2 were black and 2 were white. I don't know if that was the baskets or the kittens, but there you go.
That's it. Okay. Right, okay. So, let me read back to you So we ended up with Fred, lived with the Smiths, with two boxes of kittens, two black and two white. That's pretty much it, isn't it? Okay, so let me rephrase or remind what was here. Fred the Wonder Dog is a two-year-old British Bull Terrier owned by the Smiths family of 127 Ponders Lane. Fred is a distinctive-looking hound. He has a black patch over his left eye, two grey front legs, and a short-tipped tail, which weighs in at a respectable 25 pounds. On the 23rd of July 2015, Fred was on his daily walk with his owner, builder Michael Smith, aged 45. The daily walk always takes them the same route. Michael and Fred would walk to the bottom of Ponder Lane and then through to the park and along the river path. However, on this day, as they reached the river walk, according to eyewitnesses Beryl Longbottom and Joyce Farvin, Fred started to act really strange. Instead of just walking beside his owner, his ears became alert and he started barking at what seemed mid-air. But clearly Fred had heard something to cause him alarm, said Joyce Farvin. Fred started pulling his order towards the river. Clearly Fred wanted to break free of his collar and leash, said Beryl Longbottom. As Fred got to the river's edge, he broke free of his grip and the owner jumped and he jumped straight in the water and towards what started to seem like a black bin liner. Fred swam towards the bin liner, carefully grabbing it with his teeth and pulling it back towards the river's edge and his owner. Upon reaching the bank of the river, his owner noticed that there was a bag was moving and there was noises coming from inside. So he opened the bag, and inside there were five kittens. There were two black, two white, and one ginger. All five kittens are safe and well and have been rehomed, but it had not been for Fred and his alertness to the sound of distress of these kittens, they'd have all drowned. Owner Michael Smith said, "We're very proud of Fred. A special reward, we gave him a T-bone steak meal and a strawberry sundae for dessert. He risked his own safety for that of others and deserves to be called Fred the Wonder Dog." Wow, thank you. Let's give these guys a round of applause.
Can you
keep
that again? I
won't listen to it. Okay. What was the point of that illustration? It was to show you just how much the story had filtered down. Fred suddenly wasn't Fred the Wonder Dog anymore. He was just Fred. He lived with the Smiths. The poor old ginger cat just got left out completely. And we had two baskets, and there was never a basket around ever. So, you know, it's important, you know, that when God speaks to us, that we write it down, because we're in danger of losing the detail if we don't. So lesson two is, when God talks, write it down. It worked for Moses, why not us? Now, you might have a great memory, but the chances are that you will forget something about the situation or the detail. Going back to Shirley, now I know why she has a pen and paper handy when God speaks to her. Because often she'll pull it out and she'll have notes from when God said spoke to her. Yeah, didn't have any notes then. And look at the detail that was lost. But I know that that lady has a pen and paper and she's always pulling it out. Someone else who's readily got a notepad and pen in her hand, and I can see her writing as we speak now, is Sylvia Foley at the back there. Now, I complained earlier that I hadn't heard the voice of God as much as some other people, and I was a little bit envious of how they had that relationship and heard God's voice so much. But that wasn't always the way for me. I used to have a very clear time and environment where I could talk to God and listen to God every day. And that's when I used to travel to work in the car, hour and a half there, hour and a half back, every single day. But I don't have to do that anymore because I work from home mostly. And what I hadn't realised until I started preparing this sermon was that I'd lost that time. And I hadn't replaced it. The good news for me is I've corrected that now, because I wake up, I read the daily bread, the word of the day, I'll pray before I start work, and there's no surprises there, but actually I do feel a lot better for doing that. Anyway, back to lesson two. So in addition to me not having the environment, I'd stop writing down when God spoke to me. Now, I used to keep a diary. I would write down the situation that was bothering me. I would write down my feelings at the time, and I would write down anything that I felt God gave me. I would write down my prayers, and then what I would also do in this diary is I would go back and I would write updates. I would always leave a space how it turned out. But again, I'd stop doing this, and it meant that I didn't have anything to refer back to remind myself of the time that God came in and dealt with the situation. Now, earlier this month, Nina and I were reboxing some of our stuff, getting ready for our new home. I say Nina and I, it was mostly Nina. But within the boxes, I found my diary. And when I read through the diary, I just couldn't believe at how many things I'd forgotten. How many times God had come to the rescue. How many times he'd been in all of my situations. And as I read the diary back, I realised it was building my faith. Because he was always there. I'd just forgotten it. I'd just forgotten those times. So that's the moral of lesson two. When God speaks, write it down. Lesson three. Read his word. You will recognise his voice more quickly. I can't express how important it is to read the Bible. Again, as I was preparing this sermon, I knew that there was a time that I had heard God's voice more often than I have been recently. And when I connected the dots, I realised it was the time that I was reading the Bible in a year. I had a plan. Every day, you would read a certain amount of scripture against the plan. But I wanted to achieve my goal of being able to say I have read the entire Bible. And because I was motivated to do that, and I had a plan, I was there. I had my head in the Bible every single day. And I couldn't believe just how much was in the Bible about stuff that goes on today. Life, work, marriage, finances, anything you could deal with today, there's something in the Bible about that. So when I was faced with any of those situations, I had a reference point to go to for advice. Each day I was learning something new, and I had God's input into my situation too. Sad that it is to admit, the busyness of life again got in with me, and I just dropped the habit of reading the Bible every day. I wasn't talking to God every day. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, God put an illustration on my mind to share with you guys. It's this. When you talk to someone every day and they call you up, the moment they say they speak on the phone, you know who it is because you know their voice, because you talk to them. It's familiar to you. But let's say that you've lost contact with someone who you used to be a friend with, and they ring you up and you say hello, and they say hello back. You just don't know the voice. And then you'll have to be a little bit polite about it. Sorry, who is this? And they might mention something, and then you'll catch on. But it takes a little while. Now, they know you because they rang you to speak to you, but you just didn't recognise them. It's the same with God. When he calls, he knows you fully, but when he calls and speaks to you, you might not recognise his voice, and that's because you haven't spent time with him. You may have forgotten what he sounds like, and it may take a little time for you to recognise his voice. The good news is this, though. No matter how long it's been since you've called God, when you do, he knows your voice. And moreover, he's delighted to hear from you. So to recap today, the three lessons, which are aimed at helping you increase your chances of hearing God's voice more. Lesson one is, create an environment that allows you to listen to God when he speaks. Do you know Jesus used to go off for time on his own with his Father? If it's good for Jesus, it must be good for us too. Lesson two, when God speaks, write it down. As I said, it worked for Moses. They've even made films about it. Lesson three, read God's word every day. It says in Matthew 4, verse 4, man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Bible is the word of God. It's our spiritual food. You wouldn't go a day without eating, would you? Why go without reading the Bible every day? There's a guy at work that I was discussing this sermon with, a guy called Mike Grattan. And I was discussing with him, and he said, you know what, Paul, it's really simple. If you want to talk to God, pray. If you want to hear God, read the Bible. Now, if any of you haven't heard God's voice in a while and want to, then what we'll do now is we'll just bow our heads and we'll just finish in a prayer that God speaks to you. But you've got to do your part as well. And I do believe that is making sure you put yourself in a place where you can talk to him, where you're not going to be distracted. I would encourage you to write it down, as I said, because as you get a little bit older, you start forgetting things. Shirley's forgot the £25 she owes me. So, you know, write it down, but also spend time listening to his word. And that's reading the Bible. You'll be amazed how it talks to you. And it is the living word. And what I mean by that is someone could read something and it means something personal to them. Someone else could read exactly the same thing and it's personal to them too. And that's why they call it the living word. It's God-breathed. It's God's word. And it deals with every situation you could possibly be going through. So, Lord, we just come to you now, Lord. We pray that you open our ears and our hearts, Lord. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to be obedient to you, just like that guy at the beginning who had the pint of milk and took it, Lord. We want to be as bold as to be able to do the things that you want us to do, Lord. And I just feel as I pray this, Lord, how great it would be, how confident I would be if I just heard your voice to do things in every situation, Lord. How I wouldn't fear anything that come my way, Lord, because I knew that you had my back. It says in the Bible that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Lord, you've given us your word, Lord. I pray that everyone here today, Lord, has chances to be able to spend time just with you, just you and them, Lord, free of distractions. I pray, Lord, that that as they open the Bible, they hear your voice, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you make us all bold when we do hear your voice, Lord, that you encourage us to do the things that you ask of us, Lord, which ultimately is to grow your kingdom. We ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.